Well, good morning, church, and welcome. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I need you to understand that every time we come here, every time we approach God's Word and are saturated in the Word of God, I know that there is no way that you can leave here except you are different than when you came. Because the Word of God just has that effect on us. And so, as we open up the Word of God this morning again, I just invite the Holy Spirit who is in this room to open up all of our eyes and our hearts to really see this truth that I want to share this morning the Lord has laid on my heart. And I want to take some time and I want to bring to our remembrance something that I had said in last week's sermon. And I did say this, I said, nothing pleases our Heavenly Father more than faith. Nothing pleases God more than faith. In fact, without it, you cannot please God. And I also said that He will skip over thousands to get to that one who is standing in faith. In fact, it pleases Him so much that He says in the Bible three times that the just, the righteous, are to live by faith. And in fact, whatever is not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Wow. We think of sin as something, you know, that specifically we've done wrong that we know. But how many times are we not in faith? And yet we, you know, we pride ourselves in not sinning and so on, but we have no idea that in the eyes of God, the moment we operate outside of faith, we're in sin. So how many of us are really living by faith? I know that we understand faith and to a certain degree, and we do operate in faith at times in our lives, and especially when something is impending, something, there's a crisis, or then we walk by faith, or we at least we put on our faith suit but I don't believe that's what the Bible is talking about when God says the just shall live by faith, because we seem to kind of, you know, we go through a faith fight and then we rest, then we go through a faith fight, and that is not the way I believe God designed us to live. The Bible says we shall walk and live by faith, not just once in a while. In other words, it ought to be a lifestyle, and not just something we practice when things get tough. You understand what I'm trying to say? So number one, let's answer the question, why does faith please our Heavenly Father? Why is it faith? Well, first of all, our Heavenly Father is so full of love for His children, loving kindness and goodness that He wants to project towards us and give us. And through faith is the only way God can bless us. Now, you might not understand that. I didn't say that God chose that. It's the only way He can. God's tied to this thing called faith. It's the only way He can bless us. And secondly, faith makes it accessible to us all. Right? If it's by faith, it's for all. It's not by your good works. If it's by our good works, then it's only a few that can actually attain to God's goodness and kindness. But if it's by faith, it's for all. And all of His children, if you are a child of God, born of the Spirit, you have faith. I'm going to tell you that today for sure. You have faith. Galatians, in chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I now am crucified, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. We were all crucified in Christ, but yet we live. But now we are to live by the faith. Some translations say the faith of the Son of God. Some translations say the faith in the Son of God. Both are correct. Both of these are correct. Now, last week, if you recall, I said faith is not a feeling or an emotion, but faith is a person. Faith is a person. Let me explain. So if I say I live by faith or I have faith, this is not quite correct. Because when you say things like, oh, I have faith, what is your faith in? Because there's a lot of people that profess to be living by faith, but their faith is not in Jesus. So the faith that pleases God is faith in his Son. Through the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father has freely given us everything. And our faith rests in that, in the victory that Jesus Christ obtained for us through his death and through his resurrection. And I know that everybody in this room here today believes that truth. But are we actively living by faith? Are we growing more and more? Are we experiencing more and more of God's goodness in our lives as we progress in this thing? Can you honestly say today, I am living more by faith than I was 10 years ago? Or there is more, my faith is more effective today than it was 10 years ago? And if not, why not? So I want us to turn over to the book of James chapter 2 this morning. And I want to read verses 18 to 20. This is a very important word that I'm sharing this morning. Turn with me to the book of James chapter 2 verses 18 to 20. Verse 18 says, yea, a man may say, you have faith, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, you doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you not know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? I want to talk about living faith this morning, not dead faith. Faith without works is dead faith. And I believe this passage of scripture, down through the years, has really been misunderstood and almost to the point of when we do hear a message or an interpretation of it, it brings many of us into bondage of condemnation. It almost condemns us because we look at our own lives and we think, wow, I haven't got a whole lot of fruit. My faith, something wrong with my faith. And it can bring us to a place where we're ready to give up on our faith because we don't see the fruit we ought to in our lives. Do you see your life as being more fruitful today as it was 10 years ago? Are you walking more and more in the favor and in the promises and the blessings that God has given us? Are they increasing in your life? They ought to be. And if not, why not? So let's talk about, because without works, faith is dead. Let's talk about dead faith versus living faith. The scripture here says that without works, faith is dead. So what does that mean? Without works, faith is dead. What is this works? Because we've heard So many times, you know, it's all about what you do. So what is this works? Let's get an understanding, because faith can only be alive with these works. If it's dead without them, it has to be, it will be alive with them. So let's find out what this is. Okay, what is this works? And let's let the scriptures answer this question. Have you got living faith today? Ask yourself that, because that's, we're going to find out what that is. In the Gospel of Mark, let's go to the scripture and find out what is this works that makes our faith alive. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. And this is a very well-quoted passage of scripture. We all ought to know it. And this was spoken to them right after he cursed the fig tree. And then the next morning they came back to it and saw that the tree was dead. What did Jesus say to his disciples when one of them commented and said, "Look, Master, the tree that you cursed yesterday is dead." And Jesus said and replied, "Have faith in God." Or have the God kind of faith. Do you think that God has a living faith? Or have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever will say unto this mountain, "Be removed, be cast into the sea," and not doubt in his heart, but will believe that the things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, before we go on and talk more about where I want to go this morning, I want us to, as I was bringing this out, the Holy Spirit told me to go back and look at this scripture for myself. Because just before that, verse in chapter 11, just Jesus in the beginning of chapter 11, sees the fig tree afar off. He goes up to the fig tree. He sees no fruit on it. So what does he do? He curses it and says, from now on, he speaks to it and says, "You will not produce figs anymore." Now, we just picked it up in verse 22, where the disciples the very next day walk by, they see the withered tree. But there's another story in between these two incidents. Now, nothing is by chance, and the Holy Spirit specifically puts things in order so that there's meaning for it. And in starting in verse 12 of chapter 11, it says they came from Bethany. After he cursed the fig tree, they went to Jerusalem. Verse 15, pardon me. And Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out those that sold and bought, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man would carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught them, saying, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called of all nations the house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves"? What in the world? Why is that put in between these two, between the cursing of the fig tree and the tree actually dying and the disciples noticing it? "My house will be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." What does that mean? What is the house of the Lord? It will be a house of prayer. You are the house of the Lord. We are the temple of the living God. And from the time we exercise our faith until we see it, you remain in prayer. That's what this is saying. You remain in prayer. You are the temple. Now we'll talk more about that prayer. I believe this prayer here is specific to praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit. And I haven't got time to go into that today and why I believe that, but I believe that's thrown in there because from the time you release your faith to the time you receive the manifestation is a time of prayer. So we're going to find out, like I say, what is living faith? This is the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. Now, I'm sure that all of us know that God's faith is alive. It is living faith. So tell me, what is the works? Faith without works is dead. Does that apply to God as well? Of course. Faith without works is dead. So tell me, what is the works that God performed that made his faith alive? Let's go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Thus the heavens, the earth, and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended all his what? What did God end? His work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his what? Work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his work that God had created and made. So what was the work that God did to create the world? He spoke. Faith without speaking is dead. Faith, I'm going to say that again. Faith without speaking is dead. God said, God spoke, light be, and light was. And God saw that it was good. So, but I want to go a little deeper here today to give us more of an understanding of how this works and why we need to speak, the importance of it. Now let me just get our heads thinking a little bit. The words that God spoke, because we say it's his words, right? He created with his words. His faith was released through his words. Light be, right? So the words that God spoke is Jesus. We saw that last week. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us in the beginning, the Word was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, the Word, and without the Word was not anything made. In other words, until God spoke, nothing was made. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world did not know who he was. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We're referring to who? Jesus, who is the living Word of God. He came down into his own, unto his own, in other words, everything he had made, and the world that he had made did not recognize him, did not know him as their creator. All things were made by Jesus. So the word that God spoken was Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to go through back over these scriptures that I went through last week. Chapter 1 in Colossians, verse 16, it says, for by him, who? Jesus, or the Word, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, that are visible, that are invisible, whether they are thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Let me ask you, is there anything that can be created apart from him? No. He is the source of all creation. That's why he says, I am the life. Without Jesus, there is no life. Man cannot create on his own, in his own strength or in his ability. And in Christ, in verse 17, and Jesus is before all things, and by him all things consist. In other words, they're held together. I mean, how else could this universe go on? Day after day after day, the sun rises and sets, the moon, the stars are stay up in the sky. You know, everything doesn't come crashing down, or there's not another big bang where everything explodes and you have nothing. Jesus holds all things together. He is life. He's the glue that makes everything stick. So, it is safe to say, God created all things by Jesus Christ, or through Jesus Christ, or by his word. So, let's bring this into our lives now. If you and I are to live by the God kind of faith that speaks, then you and I also must speak. If God did not speak, nothing would have happened. That same faith that God has, we too have. We have Jesus living on the inside of us, who is the Creator, who is the Word of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that manifested or brought into the natural the words that God spoke, the words being Christ. You see the whole Trinity working together. And in that book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, it says, God now has spoken to us in these last days. Are we in the last days? Yes. Before he'd speak to his people through the prophets, but now he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. So when we believe and speak what God has spoken to us in Christ, in his Son, our words become powerful and alive. They become Jesus Christ. You see, that's why the Bible says we live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not even our faith. It's Jesus in us who is the Creator. And the Holy Spirit confirms, bears witness with our words. Because when you speak the truth, you see, that's the problem. A lot of times we're not speaking truth, so the Holy Spirit has nothing to confirm. But when we speak the truth about what God has spoken to us in his Son, now the Holy Spirit has, now Jesus Christ, who is the Creator, the Word of God, becomes flesh. So have you got living faith? Are you speaking continually? You have the power and the right to do that. The Creator lives on the inside of you. When you speak in his name, you release, so to speak, the Creator to create. Even if it's something he needs to create in your life, he can do it by the Spirit. I know it sounds crazy, but I don't know how else to say it. That's the way the Holy Spirit showed it to me. But the problem is too many of us are waiting on God to do something about our mountain. The mountain represents the problems in our lives. And we're praying, oh God, help me. Oh God, fix it. You know what? That's not scripturally correct. God has already helped you. God has already fixed it. Instead of praying to God about your mountain, we are needing to speak to the mountain about our God. That's proper. That's walking in the truth. And the Holy Spirit can bear witness to that. And you know, some of us spend years and years and years praying and praying and praying for God to move in their lives or to do something they desire. And the Holy Spirit cannot bear witness with that type of a prayer. Because, first of all, that makes God look like he's withholding something from us. And right there, that's not truth, because God gave it all in his Son Jesus. He gave us the Creator himself to live in us. Why? Why? To create. If you only knew what you had, the power that's in you. That's why the Bible said, and we took that a month ago or so, the Apostle Paul prayed in that prayer, I pray that God would open up your eyes and enlighten you to the power that is to us that believe. That believe, that have faith. That's what faith is. But faith without speaking is dead faith. So every time you approach God and you ask Him for something He has already given or has already done in Christ, that is not praying according to the truth. And the Holy Spirit cannot bear witness with that. If you are pleading to God for health and wholeness, that doesn't mean He's not going to lead you to the truth. Don't get me wrong. God hears you. He knows what you have need of. But what I'm saying is God cannot answer that kind of prayer because He's already healed you in Christ. Christ is in you. Healing is in you. Everything He's done is in you. Speak it out. Call it forth. Faith calls those things that be not as though they are. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with those words because that is the living Christ. And that's how we live by faith every day. Not just once in a while. But every day we wake up in this world and we have a choice. Are we going to speak it like it is? This morning I woke up and I was mean when I saw the wind again. And when I was in the bathroom, the Holy Spirit reminded me of my sermon and said, is that what you're going to say? And I said, no, Lord, it's going to be a great day in Jesus' name. A great day. Speak it out in Jesus' name. Speak by faith. Don't speak what you see. Speak what you want to see. Call those things that be not as though they are. That's what God did. He didn't look out at the darkness because the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and it says, oh, great darkness was over the deep. He didn't say, whoa, it's dark out there. No, He said, light be, and light was. Transformed the darkness. That's who you are. God has given us the gift of righteousness that you can speak boldly and declare in His name. But are we doing that? Or are we giving into the circumstances and complaining and moaning about everything we see in the natural? James chapter 5, verses 16 and 17 says this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, making much power available, dynamic in its working. Okay? This power is like dynamite. Dynamic in its working. What does dynamite do? It blows things up. You got a problem in your life? This kind of faith will blow it right up. It'll blow it out of your body, whatever it is that you're dealing with. It'll blow it out of your home. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do we know what we have inside of us? This is a description of the prayer of faith. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Availeth much, making much power available. Verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, he had feelings too and emotions. He was tempted to go with what he saw, what he felt. What a lousy day. It's windy today. I feel awful today. But it says he prayed earnestly, fervently, earnestly, that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for 3.5 years. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit writes down things, gives us examples? This is scripture is written in the New Covenant. And it's telling us, because this is for you and I, to figure out what this effectual fervent prayer really is. And so if you go back to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, you're going to find out what this prayer was that was fervent, that was effectual, that was dynamic in its working. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there will not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's it. That was the prayer. The fervent, effectual, dynamic, powerful prayer that he prayed. But the funny thing is our idea of fervent prayer in the church is a lot different, isn't it? When we think of someone who is praying fervently, we think of someone who just prays all day long and is like, you know, on his knees and crying out to God, right? He walked in on the scene, he proclaimed a statement, and that was it. And the Bible calls that fervent, effectual, powerful prayer. You know, God sees things differently than you do. So sometimes when you know, one thing that I've learned in my life, that as I'm approaching a situation, and if I feel really down about something, or if I just feel like I kind of like, ooh, that's an area I don't want to go to. I know I don't have no faith. You know, the one thing that I have learned is I take it to the Lord and I say, Father, show me how you see this problem. Because so many times we see things differently and backwards in the way from the way God sees it. We need another perspective on things. And when we have that perspective, it changes everything. Your perspective is important, but I don't want my perspective. I don't want yours. I want God's. I want to see how he sees. I want to understand things how he understands. I want the mind of Christ to be operating always in my life. And so that is one of my prayers all the time. Lord, show me what you see. Help me to see it as you see it, not as I see it. And it's amazing how when God changes your perspective and shows you how he sees it, changes everything. All of a sudden, you find faith rising in your heart again, setting you straight up, and boldness. Use that. Ask God to show you how he sees, not how you see. So here, this is the fervent, effectual prayer that a righteous man, who's righteous? You and I. It was just a proclamation. Proclamation. But God sees it differently. He sees this as an effectual, fervent prayer. And this is, listen carefully, the type of prayer that the Apostle Paul was referring to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, when he said, pray without ceasing. Now, you know, I used to read that and think, pray without ceasing. Well, I'll tell you what, if our idea of fervent prayer is what I just explained, you know, like down on your knees and praying fervently and crying out to God all day long, where could we get anything else done? Because the Bible says, pray without ceasing. You know, and I've heard lots of people trying to interpret what that means. And, you know, well, you pray quietly in the spirit or you, but even that, what happens when you're conversing with your children? What happens when you're involved and you're using your mind to work out something that your workplace, you know, takes your mind somewhere else? But what that means to pray unceasingly is to continually speak life into every situation, even in your workplace. As you approach your work, you speak to it what you want to see. You speak to your body. If you're tired, you speak words of life in Jesus' name. That's living by faith. Proclaim. Speak. Faith speaks. So let's go back to James 5 and read the next verse, verse 18. So it says that Elijah prayed. He went to Ahab and he proclaimed that there will be no dew nor rain until I speak it. Now, we know it never rained for 3.5 years. Now, for sake of time, we're not going to go back and see how that all transpired. But then it says in verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So 3.5 years later, because of things that transpired, he prayed again. It doesn't say he prayed a fervent, effectual prayer. It just says he prayed again. Now, if you go back and read in 1 Kings, chapter, pardon me, 18. Yes, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 42, it tells us and it records how he prayed again. It says, Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. He cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. Now that looks and sounds like fervent prayer. He never moved from that position until it started to rain. But God, the Holy Spirit, just records it as he prayed again. Do you see how God sees things differently than we do? And you might be judging one another and saying, well, you don't pray. You know what? You're praying all day long when you speak forth words of life. That is a prayer that pleases the heart of God. That is the prayer of faith that God will skip over the multitudes to get to you. That is the prayer of faith spoken of earlier in chapter 5 of the book of James, where it says, is any sick among you? Call for the elders of the church, and they will anoint him with oil, and they will pray the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith will save the one that is sick. Speaking over, proclaiming what God has already done for us in Christ. He has made us righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, which has washed us all clean and given us the right to proclaim and speak words of life. Jesus couldn't live in you if you were not completely righteous. And you can speak out what he's done boldly. And you can take a stand. Take a stand. Don't be moved. Don't bow down, because things don't happen immediately. You stand, and having done all, you stand. So here he is. He's praying. He's got his head between his knees. And verse 43 says, and he said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And his servant goes up and he looks and says, there's nothing there. And he said, and then Elijah comes back to Elijah and says, well, there's nothing there. Sky's clear, sunny day. Elijah says, go again. And how many times did he go? 7 times. He had to send his servant back out. Okay, pray some more. Go again, pray some more. You see, it took time. So, you know, there's two things I want to point out in this. It's so easy for us to curse something. We got no problem cursing things. But man, when we're believing for a blessing, that's where we have the trouble. And rain is a blessing. Drought is not. It's a curse. He had no problem speaking curse. But boy, to speak the blessing. And you know, it's even like that with us today. We struggle with the blessing. And we takes us a while to get that blessing spoke out. Okay. But, and it came to pass at the 7th time, behold, it said, there arose a little cloud out of the sea. And it was like a man's hand. That's how small it was. A wee little cloud came out of the sea. And Elijah said, now go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and get you down, that the rain may not stop you. In other words, you better get ready. It's about to start pouring. So there's this little cloud. So the other thing I want to say about this is, when you speak, or when you're praying and believing God for things, don't despise the little things. We're always waiting for the big sensational. God uses the wee small things. And we can miss God because we don't see it. He uses, take what you do have, just like when he fed the 5,000. How much food did he have? The little boy, small lad, had, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. God loves to use the small things. The tongue is the littlest member of your body, and he uses it to create and cause dynamo power in your life. Your tongue. Speaking. Faith speaks. I have believed, therefore I speak. If you believe the gospel message, if you believe that Jesus Christ has died and given you freely all of these things, then speak. Don't let that faith just sit there. You know, I was contemplating this yesterday, and I went back to Isaiah 53, and I read through the account of the suffering of Jesus Christ at the cross. You know, it says that as a lamb to the slaughter, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He was dumb. He did not speak. You know why? Because his words are weighty and powerful. He did not speak. You know why he was silent? So you could speak. He endured silence on your behalf to set us free, to speak, 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 and don't ever stop speaking. Don't ever stop proclaiming the word of God in your life. It's by the word you were saved, and it's by the word, that same word that is going to create what you need, that is going to supply. It's already there. Your finances are already there. Your health is already there. Speak it out. Put that in, that word in your mouth. Get it out there. Let your faith become alive. Let the Holy Spirit work to bring that thing to pass, no matter what it is. And the greater thing, I mean, the greater the mountain that we speak to, the greater God loves it. There's something special to God about he who stands. I mean, you can imagine a little guy standing there speaking to something that's so huge. You know why? Because that means that little guy's God is big. You understand? The greater the things we speak, that shows that in our hearts, our God is a big God. God is a big God. So this time, when Elijah prays for rain, the Holy Spirit just refers to that as prayer. Not effectual or fervent. And so that's just something for us to think on, so that we do not condemn ourselves. Because there's too many times and so many times in our lives where we have a problem. And I mean, I'm included in all of this. And we feel sometimes condemned because we feel guilty because we haven't spent enough time in prayer. Oh, I haven't fasted and prayed enough. I mean, I can't expect to see any results if I don't, you know, make up my mind. Bless God, I'm going to pray about this thing. Don't let the devil come along and condemn you. You already have the answer. You already have the life in you. Just speak it in Jesus' name. That's what makes your faith come alive. I'm not saying, you know, there are things that we pray about, things that you know, decisions maybe that we are to make, or there are certain things that you want to hear from God on, right? But anything we know that Jesus Christ did at the cross, anything that was finished when he said it is finished, we don't need to pray about it. We don't need to ask God for it. It's already ours. In Jesus' name, you speak it. You call it forth. You call your body healed. You know your body's dead. We just read that. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life I live by the faith of the Son of God. And your body has to obey you. Your body has to obey you. You are in control of your own body. Speak life into it in Jesus' name. Speak. Without it, your faith is dead. So faith without works is dead faith. And the works here is referring to our speaking, to our proclamation, to our words. And if the Holy Spirit leads you to do something in the natural, because there are times he does, that's okay. You've already got faith. That deed that you did was because you had faith. Too many times we do things trying to prove something. Don't ever try to prove who you are. You know, sometimes we want to do great things for God because we're trying to prove to somebody else that, look at me, I'm a Christian. Ha ha, I have great faith. Don't ever go there. You don't have to prove nothing to nobody. You know who you are. God knows who you are. But live your life in close communication with God. Just receive like a child would. A child doesn't have to prove who his father is. A child knows who his father is. But we sometimes, as God's children, we have this idea that, oh, I'm going to prove who I am instead of proving who he is. Do you understand? You see, there's sometimes some thing going on, warped thinking in our minds, and we don't even see it unless the Holy Spirit brings it to our attention. So Let's start speaking this week. Let's speak every day. When we're tempted to say something negative, because you know life and death really are in the power of your tongue. And I mean, it's not your words per se, but it's what your words carry. You understand? So speak, speak, speak. When you're tempted to say something negative, speak what you want to see in the name of Jesus. And you know, because like anything else, you have to walk this life. You have to practice it. You have to begin to speak so that you'll be catching yourself before those negative things come tumbling out of your mouth. Speak what you want to see. Trust that those words, see the life of Jesus, see him creating, because they're his words. He is the word. And when you speak the word of God, you're speaking Jesus out into the natural. And now that word will never return void. Jesus himself will make sure that word, you can't speak life out and it not create something. Just like you can't speak light. Light can't come in without it dispelling the darkness. Well, that's how life is. When you speak his word, you're speaking life, and it's not just going to do nothing. All darkness, all death has to flee when there's life. And so you need to see that. You need to see what you have in you and faithfully, not because you have anything, any power. All you have to do is believe it and then speak it out boldly in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with the truths that you speak, and you will see things begin to happen in your life. I believe this is one of the reasons. I know in my life personally, it's one of the reasons I am not seeing as much as I would like to see. So many times I ask myself, why am I not speaking more? You know, you forget. It's easy to speak when something's negative. Boy, you want to be heard. But when you want to speak something positive, it's like we have to make an effort to do it. And then we forget. Because our minds are always caught up in the negative things. And then we speak negative things. Don't allow the enemy to distract you. Speak the words of life into your home, into your children, into your body, whatever. Wherever you need life, speak. And God will honor your words. Amen. Let's just close in prayer. Father,